भगवद्गीता 4.11 यथामां प्रपद्यन्ते तां तथैव भजाम्यहं मम वर्तमानो वर्तन्ते मनुष्यः पार्थ सर्वशः। ये यथामां एज दे एंड टू मी प्रपद्यन्ते सरेंडर तां तथैव एंड टू देम सिमिलरली भजाम्यहं आई रिवॉर्ड देम मम वर्तमानुवर्तन्ते माय पाथ फॉलो मम वर्तमान अनुवर्तन्ते माय पाथ दे फॉलो मनुष्यः पार्थ सर्वशः ओ पार्थ ऑल लिविंग बीइंग्स ऑल पीपल ऑल ह्यूमन बीइंग्स मनुष्यः। सो इन द प्रीवियस वर्स कृष्णा हैड स्टेटेड दैट नाइन्थ वर्स ही हैड स्टेटेड दैट दोज हू नो हिम attain liberation from rebirth, and 10th he said that how one can love him, what how to overcome misconceptions and take shelter. So after describing the tapasa, jnana tapasa, we know him tattvataha. He then now describes that, okay, then why is it that all people don't know him, don't attain him? And how does he reciprocate with others who don't do that? So how does he respond to them? So Krishna talks about two principles in this verse. His reciprocity and his universality. So 4.11 A and B, the first two lines talk about reciprocity. And C and D talk about universality. So first verse says that as people, first two lines A and B say that as people surrender, accordingly he rewards. So here the first time in the Bhagavad Gita, the word prapadyante, surrender, is used. A similar word, sharana, was used earlier in 2.49, buddhau sharanam anvichcha krupanah phalahetavah. So surrender with your intelligence, surrender to your intelligence. The idea is that who is the object of surrender? That is not necessary. That in that case, it's definitely not Krishna. Krishna has not introduced himself as the object of surrender over there. But here Krishna, because he has already talked about how he is the transcendental Lord and how he descends to this world to re-establish dharma. So now it's clear that he is the ultimate object of surrender also. So he rewards different people accordingly, according to their mode of approaching him, their mode of surrendering to him. The acharyas explain that when somebody considers Krishna's form to be temporary, Krishna consider him to be just like another ordinary human being, then Krishna reciprocates by letting them live as ordinary human beings in the material world at the material level of consciousness. When somebody understands Krishna's form to be eternal, then Krishna reciprocates by granting them an eternal form and eternal activities. He elevates them to his abode, as was mentioned in 4.9. And those who consider his form to be a product of illusion, a temporary material covering accepted by the impersonal transcendental Brahman, Krishna says that similarly, that their activity in that analysis also becomes illusory. This will be elaborated further in 9.11 and 12. Avjananti mam mudha and mogha shamo karmana. Essentially, this verse talks about how Krishna is reciprocal, and in that, and in his reciprocity is the tangible demonstration of his personality. Now, a living, loving person will naturally be reciprocal. It will not be just dead or neutral in an emotionless sense. If somebody expresses appreciation, somebody expresses affection, actually that person will reciprocate. If somebody doesn't pay much attention, that person will not pay much attention. If a living, loving person had the same response to everyone, irrespective of whether the person was insulting or neglecting or appreciating, then we might appreciate that person's stoicism that person's stolidness, but that would make not make the person very lovable. The reciprocity of Krishna is what makes him supremely lovable. And the reciprocity also indicates that Krishna doesn't say here that I reject all those who don't surrender to me. He says no. They surrender to different degrees and I respond accordingly to them. And that means if somebody surrenders to this different ways of surrendering or different objects of surrendering, that will be discussed in the 7th chapter when Krishna will talk about those who don't surrender to him in 7.15, those who surrender to him in 7.16 to 19, and those who surrender but to something else other than him. To demigods, we'll talk in 7.20 to 23, and to the impersonal Brahman in 7.24. And Krishna describes that even those who are demigod worshippers, he rewards them. The rewards that the demigods give are actually given by Krishna. Mamayaiva vihitan hitan. Krishna mentions that section. So in that sense, he rewards people depending on what they surrender to. Now, what does the second part mean? Mama vartamanu vartante manushya partha savasha. All living beings are on my path. A common mistranslation of this verse is that all paths lead to me. But Krishna is not saying that over here. In fact, just after this, he will say that those who worship the demigods, he will talk. Prior to that, he has talked about those who devote themselves to him. And then after that, he talks about those who worship the demigods. So Krishna contrasts between the two. And that contrast between various paths and their destinations, various objects of worship and their destinations, that is highlighted several times in the Bhagavad Gita, most prominently 9.25. Yanti deva prata devan pitran yanti pitra prata bhutan yanti bhutejya yanti madhyajino pimam. So the worshippers of the demigods go to the demigod worshippers, or the pretas and bhutas go to the pretas and bhutas. The worship of the ancestors go to the ancestors, and worship of followers of Krishna come to him. So certainly all paths do not lead to the same goal. But all paths, all people are on his path, this verse is saying. In fact, this same phrase, the same sentence, with the same wording, mama vartmanu vartante manushya partha sarvasha, has been used by Krishna in 3.23. Yadi yam navarte yam jatu karmanya tandritaha mama vartmanu vartante manushya partha sarvasha. But there it was literally in the sense that Krishna is walking a path and others are following his path. Others will follow his path. So if Krishna does not do his duty, others will also neglect their duty. But here, the same wording is used, but what it means here is quite different. So it's Mamvartama is not his path in the sense the path that he follows, but it is his path in the sense that the path that leads to him. So all people are on the path to him. To understand this, we need to look at 10.41 in the Bhagavad Gita, which states that Mamatejo Amsha Sambhava, that everything opulent, attractive, it reflects a spark of Krishna's splendor. So few people may be attracted to Krishna directly, but everyone without exception is attracted to something. And whatever it is that they find attractive, the attractiveness of that comes from Krishna. And in that sense, because they are attracted to a spark of Krishna, so they are on the path to Krishna. However, depending on what they are attracted to and in what mode of nature, in what disposition that particular manifestation is situated, their attraction to that object will take them towards Krishna or away from Krishna. For example, if somebody is attracted to a devotee who sings nicely, speaks nicely, who is, say, very charismatic and compassionate, then that attraction to the devotee will help the person to come closer to Krishna, because the devotee speaks about Krishna and guides others to Krishna. On the other hand, if somebody is attracted to the taste of alcohol. Now, even the taste of alcohol, its attractiveness ultimately comes from Krishna. But that taste of alcohol, relishing that taste, enjoying the taste of alcohol, doesn't elevate one upwards towards higher modes, but rather that takes one downwards, deeper into the modes of darkness and ignorance. So, that person is also, the alcoholic, is also on the path to Krishna, but is going away from Krishna. Now, in this way, whatever a person is attracted to, whoever a person adores, some people may consciously worship someone, like say somebody worships a demigod, or some people may implicitly do that by making some people into role models, icons, like we have icons of pop culture, film stars, movie stars, film stars, sports stars, sometimes in politicians, the way their holdings are put and the way they are glamorized, it's almost like they are being made into gods, pseudo gods. So whatever a person is attracted to, that attractiveness within that attractive object comes from Krishna. In that sense, they're all attracted, they're all on the path to Krishna. But to the extent they have a positive attitude towards Krishna, to that extent they will go closer to Krishna. Otherwise, depending on their disposition towards him, depending on the mode of approach to him, Krishna will reciprocate and they may, despite being on the path to Krishna, go away from Krishna instead of coming close to him. So this verse describes in this way the reciprocity and the universality of Krishna, that he reciprocates with people according to how they approach, and whatever they are approaching, they are on the path to him. But depending on what they are approaching, they may be coming closer to him, staying where they are within their distance to Krishna, or going further away from him. Thank you.